This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say. But if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free-for-all Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon, and welcome to this Free for All Friday. And as the announcer says, it's the day when you set the tone and we talk about what you want to talk about. And there is, as always, a lot to talk about. What about the latest gridlock? As if the traffic in Toronto wasn't bad enough already. Now these closures, Dufferin to Strawn, 3 years. Even the deputy prime minister was stuck in it. Does that mean something might be done? I don't know. She has a, quote, great relationship with Doug Ford, and he is now in charge of that. So let's see if something gets done on that. And what about the latest on long-term care? So the minister was briefed by staff saying it's, it's possible that we will not meet the target of 4 hours of direct care for every patient by the deadline. But here's what gets me. The staff said they could not say if the interim target was being met. Now, I could sort of understand if they would not say. That happens a lot, whether you agree with it or not. But if they could not say, then what are they doing there? What are we paying them for if they cannot even say if the current target is being met? What do you think about that? And then, of course, there is the CAFEA kerfuffle. So let me give the numbers and we'll get right to the phones. The numbers 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And let us begin with Ron in Guelph. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Libby. Thank you for
taking
my call.
Go ahead. You're on the air, Ron.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm reading the story again from Martin Reg Cohn. I'm sure you've read it yourself about NAFCA Day. And, of course, Brian Lilly wrote about the kerfuffle, about the CAFEA. And somehow they're both interrelated. I've got an answer for NAFCA Day. Why don't we just have May the 14th as a celebration of the creation of Israel? Wouldn't that solve the problem?
Well, let's explain what Nakba Day is. Nakba means a catastrophe in Arabic, and people in the Arab world see the creation of the State of Israel as a catastrophe. It's another democratic nation, and the Peel School Board decided to put Catastrophe Day on the calendar. I mean, the unbelievable expressions of being anti-Israel, anti-Semitic around us are unbelievable. This in a school board. Like, try teaching the kids to read and maybe add up a few numbers. I mean, I just find this incredible. To give him credit, the education minister, Stephen Lecce, told them to knock it off. But are they doing that? I don't know, because they are busy being woke and hating Israel and hating Jews rather than teaching the kids basic skills. Ron, thank you for that. Okay, let us go to Rudy in Toronto, and Rudy wants to talk about the Zamir case. It is before the jury, and that, of course, is the guy who ran over the police officer and said he had no idea the guy was a cop. Hi, Rudy. How are you?
Hi, Libby. Glad to hear it. Glad you're back. And what I just heard from the previous caller, that sort of upset me about acknowledging that Nakba Day. I didn't know about that. But as far as Omar Zamir, Yes, it is a terrible tragedy that happened, but you know that the police should not have stormed this car the way they did. They've just got to find another way of approaching people, because I can completely understand how you must have been frightened being in there and then seeing this man and woman coming up and banging on his door and so on. And you know, I heard what Ari Goldkind had to say about the case the other day, and I completely agree with him. And I think that the police should just have a discussion about what happened and try to approach suspects a little differently than they did in this case, to not result in a tragedy like it did.
Okay, thanks for your call. Just to update people, so the jury is deliberating, and now people are talking about what the jury did not hear. And basically, the judge in this case, who is considered a very, very competent and fair judge, she said the Crown really doesn't have much of a case. And she also cautioned, and this is really something, that the police officers who testified that perhaps they colluded and perhaps their testimony was, shall we say, not accurate. So we'll have to see what happens on this case. And if the jury does not convict on first-degree murder, of course, they can convict on second-degree or manslaughter. So we will have to see what happens on that. But that is pretty unusual. A judge basically saying that the Crown did not have much of a case. So we will have to see what that turns out. Let's go to Marina in Toronto. Hello, Marina.
Hi, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
So I live in Hamilton.
Oh, wait a minute. Marina. Sorry. You have to turn your radio off or down. There's an echo. I'm going to let you go until you do that, and you can call back. And that's a reminder, people, there's a delay on this and an echo, and if you're on the air, you cannot have the radio on. Okay, let us go to Pat in Toronto. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Libby. I'm briefly going to mention the home tax. I got caught in this thing because I didn't fill out the form. Then I went on and tried to use the software, and I tried for 20 minutes, and it wouldn't work. So I phoned 311 Toronto, and they said, oh, there's a software problem. I finally got the thing filed, but why are we doing this? How many people, what percentage of the population would have vacant homes? Half of 1%, yet they want the other 98 or 99% to fill out a form? Is this the wrong way of doing it? Why wouldn't you just have the people who have the vacant homes fill in the form? Am I missing something?
Well, yeah, and people are suggesting that they can figure this out by looking at things like water usage. Staff has said, well, that's a violation of privacy or something. And meanwhile, we have Olivia Chow promising she's going to fix everything. And they're keeping the tax, but they will fix the glitches. So we'll have to see.
But that wasn't my main point on phoning. It was when the budget came out the other day. And, you know, we're spending money we don't have. But one of the issues that I don't think the public is aware of is the massive pensions that are paid out to members of Parliament. I mean, the three leaders, because they have significant time in, will have indexed pensions, fully indexed pensions, that they can take at age 55, with a 10% discount from taking it at age 65. Their pensions, even right now, would be in the $300,000 a year, and then it's indexed. And yet, nobody in the private sector really gets proper indexing anymore because private companies, public companies can't do this. I mean, government can do it because you've got a never-ending source of revenue. But it's just wrong.
Exactly, Pat. Thank you. Okay, Marina has called back, and I'm sure that her radio is down now. Hello, Marina.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, go ahead. You're on the air.
So I want to speak about the Gardner and the gas prices and how it's affected me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. So I live in Hamilton, but I own and operate a business here in Toronto. So I'm here 5 days a week. So I've gone from about an hour and a half each way to over 2 hours each way. And now with this gas price, it's crazy. I don't know if I don't think I'm going to be able to do this anymore. It's an unfortunate, as I had to move to Hamilton, too, because I was priced out of Toronto. So it seems to me coming into Toronto is just not worth it anymore. And, yeah, being on the road for 5 hours is ridiculous.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that from somebody who has a business here and is contributing to the economy. I mean, it's possibly small comfort. Apparently, gas prices are going to go down overnight tonight. I don't know how much they're going to go down. And Justin Trudeau keeps promising that most of us will get back more in that rebate than we pay. But it does not sound like that is the case for you, Marina.
No, not at all. No, the government doesn't help me at all. I'm self-employed, so it's really hard for me. And I was on a variable. So 3 years ago, my mortgage was $2,000. Now it's up to $3,000. So it just seems like for me and my business, is just, I don't know, living in Canada is not the way it used to be, especially to own a home and just be comfortable and put some savings down. But even going to work is unbearable these days for me.
I'm so sorry to hear that. And there's got to be a better way to plan this construction. And the thing is that once they have, you know, they have the details worked out, if they want to change anything, it's going to cost us taxpayers a fortune. And
absolutely.
Even if they say 3 years, what is 3 years in government construction time? It's like cat years or something. It's probably double that. So it's just a really bad situation. And I'm very sorry to hear how it's affecting you, Marina. And I hope that by some goodness, you are able to figure things out.
Thank you so much, Lizzie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Let us go to Emmett in Toronto. Hello, Emmett.
Hello, Libby.
Hi, you're on the air, Emmett. Go ahead.
Hi there. I would just like to ask you what your definition of woke is.
Oh, it is, I would say, pandering to a whole bunch of politically correct ideas that are championed by the left now.
Well, that seems to be a right-wing definition, and the definition that I'm aware of is just being aware of society's ills. And there's an ill in society. Well, there is a genocide happening in Palestine. And
well,
I
it's
was
not, that's your take on it. It's not a genocide. There's a war.
Well, this seems pretty one-sided. Seeing as those volunteers are murdered, I think that this show goes against the ideals of the rest of your station.
Okay, thanks for that. I don't think so. There is not a genocide going on. There's a terrible war. There is a terrorist organization running Gaza. And I'm not saying that the situation there isn't awful. It is awful. And we want to see an end to it. They are holding hostages. They're refusing to give up. They have killed 1,200 people in a horrible 1,200 civilians, a horrible attack. And it is terrible that there are civilian casualties, as there have been in other wars. Okay, but everybody, I guess, is entitled to their opinion, as long as they don't go out and kill civilians. Let us go to Una in Toronto. Hello, Una.
Hi, Libby. I was actually calling about our foreign minister, Melanie Jolie, because after that giant barrage of rockets and ballistic missiles and drones and whatever, she came out and admonished Israel for a pretty lame attack on Iran. It was just kind of a symbolic thing. So I just find her completely embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people would agree with you, but I hear you. And of course, Israel has not taken responsibility for this attack. The word from some American officials is that Israel was behind it. And what is even more interesting, yesterday I saw an interview with the Iranian foreign minister who was bellicose, who was basically saying, if Israel has the tiniest attack, we are going to smite them. And right now they are saying almost nothing about this. They're saying, I mean, there were no casualties in this drone attack, but they're saying it was nothing, no big deal. And they're not even blaming Israel because they made all these very grandiose statements. But that's where we're at on that. And let's hope that that keeps the tit for tat even, and that we don't see any escalation, Una. Thank you.
Yeah, but there was Jolie trying to, just saying. Anyway, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, yeah. Does not appreciate the foreign minister. A lot of people do not. I guess there are some people who do, but a lot of people absolutely do not. So I am looking at the time, and it is time for our first break. Let me give the numbers out again before we go to break. 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. We will be back on the other side of the break, and we'll be taking more of your calls and your comments. There are lots of issues to talk about today, and I think we've touched on quite a few of them. We haven't talked about long-term care yet, but we'll talk on the other side of the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Hello? And welcome back to this Free for All Friday. I am going to give the numbers out again. As always, there is a lot to talk about today. We've got that construction from Dufferin to Strawn. We just heard from a caller, and it's adding at least an hour to her commute from Hamilton. She has a business here. All her other costs are going up. It's awful. Even the deputy prime minister was caught in this terrible delay on the Gardner, which is supposedly going to be going on for 3 years. And that is 3 years in government construction time. I would say double it, and you might get closer to what is really happening. Doug Ford has weighed in on it. He is now responsible for the Gardner. So let's see if he comes up with anything. He definitely seems to be on the side of car commuters. So we'll see if there is anything, any relief with that. But it's terrible if it's going to impede everything and impede our businesses from doing their work. There was also a story about long-term care. Not only is it unlikely that the government will meet its targets of 4 hours a day of direct care for every resident, but it's unclear that they are meeting the interim targets. And the civil servants don't even know. They can't say. It's not that they won't say. They cannot say if we are meeting our interim targets. I think that's unacceptable. We have the CAFEA kerfuffle, I'm calling it, in the legislature with, I've heard some nonsense on it, but we'll see if anybody is worried about that. There's always the latest in the Middle East. All that situation is really quite tragic. And whatever you want to talk about, people, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to John in Toronto. Hello, John.
Hi, Libby. It's John. Thanks for taking my call. I help seniors with the preparation of taxes, which go to the reference library, because I have volunteers to help seniors do taxes this time of year. So I'm really dealing with a senior that is nonverbal. So I'm going through the paperwork. I found two pieces of paper, one which we all expected during COVID from the Ministry of Finance and compliments of Doug Ford, which doubled the gains, G-A-I-N-S. They doubled it. So now the second paper last week I'm reading, and I called Ottawa today, and I said, what's the deal on gains now for seniors? And they said,
capital gains, you mean? Sorry, you mean capital gains?
No, this is the Ontario government is expanding eligibility for the Ontario Guaranteed Annual Income Supplement Program.
Okay. Yes.
So now, after the seniors got used to the double payment of gains every month in the middle of the month, which comes to $160 every month for a senior, single, now this letter dated March states, you now will get $83 a month for a single senior, and then we're going to top it up for the year by $4. So I said to the man, I said, thank you very much for explaining it to me, but when you give a senior citizen a $4 a month increase, that means we get two cups of coffee a month. That's it. And we have to live off that.
Yeah, so basically they topped something up during the pandemic and they're taking it away now. Is that
They took it away, and now they say we'll give you $4 a month.
Gee, thanks.
So anyways, keep up the good job, and keep the open lines going for Fridays. We love it.
Okay, and thank you so much. Keep up the good work helping people with their taxes, because it's really important if you're on a low income to file your taxes, because that way you get some benefits back that you would not otherwise get. So that's really good volunteer work, John. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Jerry in Scarborough. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, young. Make sure you don't go to Starbucks, because you'll lose that $4 as soon as you walk through the door.
Okay. Go ahead.
That's insane. Anyhow, I want to talk to you about diabetes and OHIP. I've been diagnosed as diabetic too, and I'm on what they call Libre 2. It's a sensor you wear on your arm that lasts 2 weeks, and it gives you a continuous reading of your sugar level.
Mm-hmm.
And when I phoned up OHIP to find out why they're not covering it, they said, unless you're on insulin, we don't cover it at all. You have to be on insulin in order to cover it. Now, if that's not segregation of an illness, I don't know what is.
There are all kinds of limitations on all kinds of things they cover, whether they're justified or not. I mean, the federal government, the new PharmaCare, is supposed to cover all kinds of diabetic drugs. I don't know if that includes that. That would be considered a device and not a drug. But yeah, I can see how helpful it would be. That's a problem.
One of our major box stores sells it at $92 a unit, and you need two a month, so that's $200 a month there. The other day I was in one of the hospitals, and I stopped in the pharmacy to ask how much it was there. It was $150 in the hospital. That makes it $300 a month.
Wow.
To have your sugar monitored. And as a senior, that's outrageous.
That's a lot of money, for sure. That is a lot of money. There are other things that are limited in a way that will cause more problems downstream. But I'm sorry you're going through that, and thank you for telling us about that, Jerry.
One quick thing before I go. That stuff on Israel. Back in 67, when the Seven-Day War was on, I was in the northern part of Israel during that time period, and just recently, they put out a call for volunteers to help over there. And when I phoned up to get information on it, you have to pay your own airfare over there and your lodging over there. So I'm saying to myself, why am I going to spend $2,000 or $3,000 to go over to put myself in harm's way when they want my help. Don't make sense.
Well, it then don't go. I mean, yeah, their economy has really been hard hit. Most of, working people have been called up. Their economy is kind of a mess now. But yes, that's your decision and interesting one. Thank you for that. Okie dokie, let us go to Barry in North York. Hello, Barry.
Hello. I am very angry at this Parliament delaying the election. But I do have a suggestion.
For a week.
Yes, so they can get their pensions. It's just so greedy and selfish. But I do have a suggestion for everybody mm-hmm. to contact your MP, tell them how greedy and selfish this action is, and that you're mad as heck and you're not going to take it anymore. And also,
yeah, but if you ask them, they'll tell you they're delaying it so it doesn't coincide with Diwali, if you believe that.
It doesn't coincide with what?
Diwali, which is a Hindu festival of lights. Actually, it's celebrated by people of different faiths, South Asian people. That's what they say.
We'll also contact the opposition, and then they have ammunition for the fight in Parliament to say, hey, we've been contacted by a lot of people. They don't like this. And if enough people do this, they'll have to listen. It's numbers really speak. And that's what
they don't have to listen until the next election. That's the fact. Barry, thank you very much for your call. Let us go to Sonia in North York. Hello, Sonia.
Hi, Libby. How are you doing?
Fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Palestinian protests that go on in the city. I've listened to your station for quite some time now, and I really love it. But lately, since the war, you've been saying pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protests, and it sounds very like you're inciting something, but at the same time, I looked up all of these protests. I see them on TV. I have yet to see a Hamas flag anywhere. I don't hear anybody saying anything about, you know, they're supporting Hamas.
I'll tell you, if you're interested actually in hearing, mm-hmm. they use Hamas slogans. They support that government. That's why I say pro-Hamas. They are not all, pro-Hamas, but a lot of them are. And some of those slogans like from the river to the sea, pro-Hamas, some of them wear the keffiyeh over their face so you can't tell. They do illegal things. So that's why I say some of them are pro-Hamas, which is it's a terrorist group that rules Gaza.
Yes, I know that, but I'm saying, like, we're in Canada, and I'm listening to it, and I'm watching. I see the TV, and I'm very well versed in the news and everything. They always have a gentleman that they interview at these protests who is Jewish, and he's Jews Against Genocide. And I'm wondering, like, okay, so is he?
That's one guy. that's one guy, and he might well be. And by the way, one flag that you will never see there is a Canadian flag. But thank you for your call, Sonia. Okay, let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. It's Free for All Friday, and it's time to hear from you on what you want to talk about. Again, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And let's go to Michael in Cape Breton. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. We haven't heard from you for a long time.
I'm always listening, Libby. I'm trying to make sense of everything that's going on in this crazy world, but I guess we're not equipped to do that for who's ever running her. If there's a hereafter and you're going to dance in a fire, there's a lot of them going to dance, and it's not going to be the poor people. Mm-hmm. Libby, I called you about the federal budget.
Yes.
And I'm glad in the way. There's benefits in there that wouldn't affect people that got money and don't got to worry about it. But there's benefits in there that are going to make my life a little easier. The dental plan, the pharmacare plan, the food program for the children in school, the daycare centers. And all I can say to that is, God love Jugmeet Singh and them for pushing those kind of social things that are going to make life probably and hopefully a little easier for the people in this country that are suffering. And I mean, there's some of them suffering bad. So just in closing, Lizzie, all I can say for that budget is, and thank you, Mr. Singh, is hooray, hooray. I'll talk to you later, Libby, and thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Always like a little bit of singing, not from me. And there is some news on that dental program that may be good news, because at first it looked like, well, gee, there were not very many dentists signing on, and they had issues with the amount of money they were getting for participating. That's one thing. But apparently there was also a lot of red tape, opting in. I don't know. I didn't look at the forms or anything like that. Well, apparently they are now making it easier. And I think you don't have to totally opt into the plan, that you can just file claims the way you would for a private dental insurance on a one-off basis. So that would be good if the government is making it easier for dentists to be part of the plan. Then people may get some access to dentists through the new dental care plan. Okay, I am looking at the clock and it's time for our second break. Let me give the numbers out again before we go to break. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. The lines are open and we talk about topics of your choice. The numbers to call 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And let's go to Monica in Toronto. Hello, Monica.
Hello. I wanted to correct a statement. The volunteer gentleman, I think his name was John, who was doing seniors' tax forms, I believe that I was only receiving gains doubled for 6 months only, for a limited period of time, in 1 year only of the so-called official COVID period from the Ontario government. You could check that, but I think that is right. So he made it sound as if seniors were getting double gains for an unlimited period of time. It wasn't. It was a limited period of 6 months only. And then the other question in my mind that I'd like to ask your listener, somebody must know, what is the official period of time that people in long-term care are supposed to be getting the nursing attention? Is it 3.5 hours or 2, or what is it? Because I know I'm in long-term care, and I'm sure I don't receive any more than 1 hour a day of attention. They run in quickly with your meals and run away quickly. They run in quickly to pick up your dishes. Run away quickly. They give me supplies so I can do my own clean up. And there's practically no attention at all beyond that.
The number, the interim number that you are supposed to be getting is 3 hours and 42 minutes.
Oh,
and
no way.
As I as I said, the staff can't even say, but you're telling us you're not getting that.
Oh, definitely not. In fact, this matter was on my mind already before I heard it on your station today, questioning that. And I wish somebody could research that and do a little investigation into how our seniors being treated in long-term care. Because I'm sorry, I would have to tell you, the basic care is extremely neglected, very, very neglected. And also there's abuse. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but it's true. And they're very short-staffed. The staff are often just losing it because they're overworked and they're so tired. And they keep you get some really good staff, and then they keep changing them. And you know, they can move from one institute to another in order to get a better job because everywhere is so short-staffed. I believe, I wish all the media would do major, deep, in-depth investigation of what is now happening in long-term care.
I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm sorry you're going through that. Do you want to say which home you're in?
Pardon me?
Do you want to say which long-term care nursing home you're in?
Well, I guess that wouldn't be fair to the staff here. If I'm going to make them all have to go public. But I have a background in doing journalism. And, you know, I'm very concerned about social justice issues. And this is a major concern to me. I have written letters. Right now I'm short of volunteers. If there were more volunteers, people from the public who would really take an interest in our senior citizens and what they can expect when they become seniors themselves in the future. Somebody needs to really, you know, make us a priority of their time and their interest and their energy. Someone, a few people taking interest, even in finding volunteers.
Okay. Monica. Thank you very much for your call. I'm very sorry for what you are going through. And, you know, we know what the problems are. They've been investigating. The question is doing something about it. Never seems to happen. Ageism is just rampant in our society. Monica, take care. I hope things improve for you. Thank you very much for your call. And Ernie in Mississauga also wants to talk about long-term care. Hello, Ernie.
Hi, Lizzie. Hi. Yes, in response to even some of the concerns that the young lady previous just had there, the formula that the Ford government is using for the 4 hours of care has absolutely nothing to do with any individual resident getting 4 hours of care. It's a formula where they're taking all of the hours worked by the nursing and the PSWs, so that staff, and even some of the recreation hours, and they're dividing that by the number of resident days that they have. So that's the formula. There's nothing to do with one person getting 4 hours of care. And that's the deception of what people are thinking of this plan. Long-term care is in a disastrous state. My wife passed away last year. After 8 years in a long-term care, and I was very, very involved with the company that operates about 20 LTCs around the Kitchener-Waterloo, Toronto area. And I was with their family council, a member of the Ontario Long-Term Care Association. And if I can say to your listeners, we have to think, what do we want long-term care to be when we're going to be looking in that direction? And then what are we doing about it? And if you're not involved with long-term care, if you're not involved with it at all, you really have no idea of what's going on the inside. If you have a loved one who is in a long-term care and you're not a regular visitor at different times even of the days, if you're not there for some meal times, for some rising times, for some bed times, some entertainment times or activity times, as they say, you have absolutely no idea what happens in all of those other hours. It's. But as I say to folks, is that long-term care is a great concept. It's not ready for people. That's kind of my feeling of it. If people get involved in the long-term care, if you have a loved one there, please, folks, go and visit. Take note, not just of your loved one, but of what's happening in these open areas, in the electronic babysitting room where the TV is. And you'll really, like, notice the other residents, and you'll really see the reality of what is happening in our long-term care. It's not right. It's not a dignified way for folks to end their days. And it's really a warehousing of folks before they're shipped out. It is an absolute disaster, and there's really not a focus by our provincial government or with support from the federal government to correct it. All of Doug Ford's fixing long-term care and such, there is so much verbiage in that, and you don't see it in reality. If all of the talk, if it doesn't reach the resident, it's useless. And unfortunately,
Ernie, thank you so much for that very sobering and clearly very informed assessment. I appreciate it very much. And you're right, more people need to get involved. And if you have to be there if you want your loved one to get even a modicum of good care. And as I said, you know, ageism is rampant, and that's probably part of the reason that we have this situation in long-term care, which is not really being addressed. And some of the companies that were the worst actors in the pandemic, well, they've got new licenses renewed. I mean, it's really a bad situation. Okay, let us move to Clay in Ajax. Hello, Clay.
Hi, Libby. You haven't heard me for a long time, have you?
Well, welcome.
Question for you. Once upon a time, many years ago, when somebody bid on a contract for doing something for the government or for any even private individuals, you had a start date and you had a finish date, and if you didn't finish on time, then you were penalized. That seems to have gone by the wayside, eh? That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and there are so many contracts, not so many. There are contracts, the biggest ones, we're not even allowed to see them.
I know, it's crazy.
Well, there you go, and they give away the store.
Yeah, I live in Ajax, and one of the guy that owned Deer Creek Golf thing, Jerry Coughlin, he donated money for the Salvation Army to build a new facility, and it took 3.5 years to build. He died 2.5 years ago, you know, so he's never even seen it completed. Like, it's crazy. It's almost everything seems like it's a make-work project.
Hmm.
You know, and now one other topic, Libby. It's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. The police department, I've always respected them. I always will. But more and more, you see these different officers being charged. And now this trial is going on. Like, basically, the judges more or less said the three officers that testified now have been lying. You know, if you want to read between the lines, I feel sorry for that poor guy. Honest to God, is he innocent or is he guilty or what's going to happen to him?
Well, I think it won't be very long until we find out, that's for sure. But it's very rare to see a judge, a competent judge, a well-respected judge, saying the Crown really doesn't have a case here. And also accusing the police officers who testified of perhaps colluding on their testimony and perhaps not being entirely truthful. So,
It's scary. Anyway, I have two grandsons that are in the Toronto Police Department. I hope they're listening.
I'm sure your grandsons are great cops. Thank you for that, Clay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let us go to Jay in Toronto. Hello, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Please go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, what I'm really concerned is Toronto is a beautiful city. Canada's a beautiful country. And what really bothers me lately, all the crime that's going on with guns. And some of the offenders, they're on probation. They're still committing more crime. And I say it's about time we started deporting these bad people. If they came from another country, to send them back to that country. And the other thing that I would like to say is we have to bring back the panels, the death penalty, because if somebody goes out to commit a crime with a gun just for their benefit, killing somebody, why should we support them for the rest of their life in jail? That should be done with. And we got to smarten up, because Toronto is going to be a bad city like some of the bad U.S. cities unless we take action now and do something about it. I'm a very concerned citizen. Thank you for listening to me.
Okay, that's pretty hardcore all around. And yes, one of the big problems is, you know, how often do you see on someone who's been arrested that they were out on bail, this catch and release? And then there's another problem with those carjackings is that organized crime gets young people to do those crimes because they aren't going to get big sentences. So really, apparently there's a new law coming. I don't know if it's going to deter anything, but I would have to agree that the situation is really quite bad. Let us go to Bob in Burlington. Hello, Bob.
Oh, doing?
Hello?
First time caller.
Oh, my bell. I'm sorry. That's 3 weeks in a row. I've forgotten my bell, so I'll go ding, ding, ding. Welcome. Thanks for calling us.
Okay. You forgot your bell again. Anyways, I just wanted to basically make a general statement as far as the governments, as far as federal. If the people representing us, federally speaking, provincially speaking, and municipalities speaking, if they would concentrate on doing the best for Canada, the best for Ontario, or all the provinces, or the best for their cities, as they do of worrying about their own political careers, wouldn't Canada be so much better?
Possibly, yes.
I'm just speaking, generally speaking, as far as if they concentrated as much effort into doing the best they could for Canada, the best they could for, you know, the province, and the best they could for the municipality, instead of worrying about this, their own political, specific political careers, I think we would be, generally speaking, we could say that we'd have a great place to live.
Yeah, they do worry about their careers and a lot of things that are being done, especially now when an election is on the horizon and federally the Liberals are really in the tank, seem to be, you know, aimed at winning back votes. We'll have to see if it works. We'll have to see if it works either way, doing any good for people or getting back votes. Bob, thanks for your call. And let's go to Sheila in Mississauga. Hello, Sheila.
Hello. Actually, the gentleman before me who made the comment, those were some of the comments I was going to make. But I'm just going to add, it's true. All these political people are there for themselves. They really literally don't do nothing. I've been trying to get in touch with them for past 10 years regards to my health, my issues. Do you think they'll call you back and say, oh, what is the issue? Haven't happened.
It hasn't happened yet, eh?
Dealing with dental, I have applied for the program since 2019, and just now I found out, oh, it's expired. I was supposed to fill out the form every year. I didn't know that.
I didn't know, but there's a new federal dental care program, so hopefully that can help you. And
referred me to Peel because I live in Mississauga, so I'm supposed to call them. They will send me forms. I don't know whether they're going to send me the right forms or not, but I have to reapply. Now, does that make sense when they have the whole portfolio in their computer?
Oh, I can't answer that, but there was a provincial or is a provincial plan for certain low-income older people, and there's now a federal dental care program, so I don't know, and there were problems with that, but they say they're making it easier for dentists to opt in, so that might be a better way to go. But yeah, it's very difficult dealing with government, a lot of red tape, Sheila. I hear you. Thanks for that. Okay, we're going to take one last call. Stephen Barry. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Libby. You know, I have a question. I'm confused. I know we have a date of October 25th for the next federal election. If all the opposition parties get together and say the Liberal Party can't stay, we're going to have an election before that date. Instead of putting it, I have to respect the religious reasons why they're moving it 1 week later. Why can't they move it 1 week or 2 weeks earlier? It has to, my understanding is it has to be done by the 25th of October. You don't always have to go longer. You can go shorter.
Well, exactly. Steve, thanks very much for that. I think the reason is because a lot of people believe the real reason is that if they wait one more week, a large number of MPs who will probably not be reelected will be eligible for their big pensions because you have to have a date. And if they go earlier, those people will not be eligible for their pensions. So that's what a lot of people believe. Thanks for your call. And basically, that's it for Fight Back for today and for the week. I will be off next week. I'll be off for the holiday first. Happy Passover to everyone who celebrates. And I will also be attending and presenting at a Canadian Cancer Society conference. And I'm looking forward to that. And it will be a very interesting conference about some breakthrough research that's happening all around the country. And it's very important for all of us. And that's all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for the week.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.